Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Turn your heart toward God and give no foothold for the devil. Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Gloria and Kelly Copeland bring knowledge of the treasure within you, which is the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Hallelujah. Kelly Copeland's with us today, and she's given us some good word. Hallelujah.
We've been taking the wrapper off of the devil's tricks.
He needs it. He deserves everything we can give him.
He's not going to bring us down with pride or shame.
No.
We've talked about shame a lot this last couple of days, and you really hit it yesterday about it's really easy to repent and receive forgiveness.
Yeah.
Satan knows that, so he tries to hide. That's where we have to... But we also have a Holy Spirit that leads us to repentance. And you know, leading us to repentance is not just about making us feel regretful or sorry or apologetic for something. That's part of it. But He can lead us to things that we need to repent of that we're not aware of.
Yeah, that's right. And
yesterday we talked about hidden shame, like how shame works. If you didn't join us yesterday for that broadcast, please go back and listen. The realization of how shame works was one of the most amazing realizations to me. And it just took shame out of the hands of Satan to use
Praise
against me.
God.
Because, you know, anything obvious, we know what to do. If we've been in the Word very long or you've listened to Mom and Dad very long, you know what to do with the obvious. You take authority over it, you ask forgiveness, it's done. We know how to receive that. But Satan would like to trick us, and he would like to have a foothold in our life. And if he can get a foothold, he can get a stronghold, but we're not going to give him a foothold. We're not going to give him a stronghold. So we talked about two different kinds of shame yesterday, where the obvious, you did something wrong, you repent, you receive forgiveness, it's done. Don't receive shame
Go
again
forward.
After it.
That's
Go
right.
back and stand on faith, and you have to put the word in about, the word says that when you repent, He forgives you.
He's faithful and just
to forgive us of our sins.
Praise God,
put the word in, and that'll rise up in your heart. But then there's the hiding shame that's from stuff that you may not even remember from when you were a kid or something that you did you thought wasn't important, but Satan can use it against you. But you have to let the Lord show you those things. He can reveal to you, and Psalm 19:12 says He can show you the sins that lurk in your heart so that they can't affect you. So you can receive forgiveness for those. Then today, though, is something that we're going to talk about shame. This type of shame is shame for things that we know in our head we shouldn't be ashamed of. That's what I want to deal with today.
That'd
be
interesting.
We're going to go in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 to talk about some things. You know, a lot of the time, people feel like if they are, if they get sick, they must not be a faith person. Now, if I said that to you, you'd say, well, that's not true.
No.
And for most people, if I said, you know, you should be ashamed that you got sick, they would go, well, you know, that's not my fault.
That's right.
Ashamed that there's a challenge. Ashamed that it may even be that you're dealing with somebody else or have a relationship with someone else, and they're going through things that cause you to feel shame for yourself. If your kids do... start doing things that are not right. It's easy to take on shame. Well, you can't take on the shame of another either. We're not the Savior. But anything we take and don't give to Jesus, He's left not being able to help us like He wants to.
Amen.
So I want to talk about that kind of shame today, maybe tomorrow, see how long it takes us to get through, because we're talking about uncovering this week. We are uncovering and unlocking the treasure within. So we talked about pride, shame. You get rid of those things and what's in us can begin to come out. We have a great treasure on the inside. We're going to look at that today. But also, you know, these things keep us out of the presence of God. They keep His presence from being more tangible in our lives. I mean, He's always with us. But, you know, like, it can feel like He's not. The funny thing is, we can have all these mechanisms in place, like shame or pride and things like that, causing us to filter what God is saying out and not hear it and turn our back on what God is saying and doing. And somehow when we turn our back on God, we can feel abandoned. It doesn't even make sense, but that's the way Satan wants it to occur.
Then that's called deception. Like,
it is. It's very deceiving.
That's what he does.
If you feel abandoned by God, I would encourage you to really pay attention today and next week, because God has not abandoned us. We are children of God. We are heirs of the promise. We are, I am a daughter of God. Amen. He has not abandoned me. And we're going to kind of dig into
some people
start
don't
cracking
want to take
that
any responsibility.
Today.
They think it's God. He's doing this to me. My God, He's trying to help you. He's done everything He can to get you free.
And you know, if you've, sometimes people feel like they go around the same circle over and over again.
And
like,
they do, because they keep going around.
And if that's the case, you need to ask the Lord to go in. Yeah. Pray Psalm 19:12. Ask Him to show you where there's a weak place in your mind, your will, and your emotion. Listen, if you're born again, your spirit is born again. But our minds are renewed day by day. In our minds, as Joyce Meyer says, is the battlefield. Brother Jerry says that too. That's the battlefield, is in your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions.
Yeah.
So the Lord's teaching us about our emotions.
Praise God.
You and I, Mom, last year, did some broadcasts. It was early on in the year. And we talked about your feelings. You know, feelings are not a dirty word. You know, you can have feelings because God gave you feelings. You just don't want to be led by them. You want to know what they are, understand what
emotions.
They are. We have them. We have emotions. They're wonderful. Emotions are wonderful. Imagine trying to live a life with your family, your children, or your husband, or your wife, or your parents without emotion. You know, it doesn't work. You can't have a close relationship with emotions.
Right.
Yet people have tried to take our emotions and set them over here and have a relationship with God without your emotions involved. You're not going to have a full relationship with the Lord. So He's restoring so many things to us. He is the restorer. And today, I believe what He wants to restore in you is a knowledge of what's on the inside. So let's start in 2 Corinthians. And remember, we're going to kind of hit on some things, some areas of shame for things that you should not feel ashamed, let the devil make you feel ashamed of. So in 2 Corinthians 3, which we are going to open up some things in 2 Corinthians 3 next week, but I don't think we'll get there today. But it's talking about turning to Jesus. Turning says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We talked about the other day that freedom is messy. When stuff starts coming out, you want to be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of it. You want to blame the devil. Don't blame the devil. If anything comes out about your life or somebody else's, it's not the devil. It's God. It's the grace of God that exposes us. So we just need to... Now, the devil will lie about you. The devil will tell lies on you. That's not what I'm talking about. But if we're doing something or somebody in our family's doing something, it's not the devil that exposes. It's the grace of God, because exposure brings... you have to deal with something that's exposed. It brings to the light. And when it hits the light, Satan is done playing with it. God can help you when it comes to the light.
Amen.
So he's talking about seeing the Lord, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we're changing to his glorious image. We're going to break that down next week. But this says in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4:1, therefore, because of freedom, because of Jesus, because of his, we're changing into his image, we never give up. We reject all shameful deeds. Say, I reject all shameful deeds. That's what we're doing this week. We're rejecting these things and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the Word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. I just felt like I had to read that just to establish this is a new day. He's saying we don't need to manipulate. You know, when you have shame in your life and you can't, especially as a minister, when you can't fully function in God, you'll start finding other ways to get stuff done. Whether you're a minister, a parent, you know, a parent, it's easy to use manipulation on your kids, but manipulation doesn't work. So, you know, go with the anointing, go with God, go with him showing you the wisdom on how to do things.
Amen.
It says, I'm going to skip down to verse 5. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. You know, it's a really easy, easy thing as a minister to get to feeling like it is somehow about you.
Now, what translation?
New Living. You can easily feel like, man, if my life doesn't stack up just perfectly, somebody's going to fail. Or if my life gets exposed and that I'm not perfect, then the ministry can't handle that. That is a lie. The ministry is not about our perfection. I mean, we do everything we know to do the Word right and to live right. Mm-hmm. And if you're not doing that, and if you're not pursuing, you know, pleasing the Lord with your... I mean, He's pleased with us and loves us, but our actions have fruit. And you can't get away from the fact that your actions have fruit. And actions have consequences. You know, it's easy to tell our kids that, but we all have to remember that. What we do, how we act, has consequences. And, but yet, we're not perfect. And, you know, everybody, sometimes it seems like everybody but ourselves know that. Like, everybody knows I'm not perfect, but sometimes I get to feel...
You're not?
You didn't know?
So disappointed.
And I'm good. I've hidden it from my mother all these years. No, we know we're not perfect.
You're pretty close.
Mother, I was thinking that about you.
You're a good girl.
Well, you know, we get to thinking, though, that somehow we have to be perfect. But we're not called to perfection in ourselves.
Well, if we had to be perfect, and if there weren't an opportunity for us to be otherwise, there wouldn't be anything about repenting in the Bible.
And we wouldn't need a Savior.
Well, that's true.
And we... You know, we
do need a Savior.
We need Him. Yeah. And I think until I began letting the Lord dig some of these things out of me, I didn't even... It's like, you know, you need a Savior, but I didn't know how much I needed a Savior. So I didn't know how much I had a Savior. Because if it's all about your own perfection, people who can't be wrong, they can't be corrected. They can't be, you know, they just have to be perfect. The world has to be perfect. They have to be perfect. They can't let anybody see any imperfection in them. It's hard to have a Savior. It's hard to know that He saves when you won't let Him save you. And you won't acknowledge some of these things. But the beautiful thing is, when you start letting the Lord dig around in you and you start acknowledging that you need Him, He's right there.
He'll bring things up for you to get rid of.
He will. And it's like, I mean, for
and
me...
And you'll be free. You'll know the truth, and the truth makes you free.
And that's right. But for me, I mean, I might as well, and I didn't, but I might as well have needed to be delivered from drugs and alcohol and illicit sex or whatever horrible things, you know, you might think are really bad. And maybe you're dealing with some of those today. It's the same process for a gossiper.
And then it's interesting to know that our commandment is to walk in love.
That's the biggest commandment. If we're not walking in love, we're worse than all of them. And so when he digs, whatever he digs out of you, even if you think, well, I think I'm doing pretty good, well, we're going to let him dig out pride and
all the other things. Yeah, really.
Self-assuredness. Right. Because when you let him do that, you just get to know him in such an amazing way. Anyway, that was my experience with him. But what can stop that from happening is, like we said, shame. So sometimes when we don't feel like our perfection is being challenged, that can be a place of shame. It says, God who said, this is so good, Mom. This one day I was driving and I was listening to a song on the radio, I was listening to a download that I had, brand new song I'd gotten. It was called Let There Be Light. It was talking about let there be light, but they said something in there and it went off in me. And when I got home, I started digging it out in the Word. And I had a realization that was from this scripture about what is in us and just how clear it is that it is not about us and what that means and how Satan's tried to trick us to make it about us. He said, God who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, I know you may be thinking, okay, what's she getting at? I've heard that scripture before. Okay, we're going to hold your place right there. Put my little pen there. And I want us to go to Genesis. You know, while we're turning there, I think it's very interesting, Genesis chapter 2. It's very interesting that one of the very first things Satan did, as soon as people hit the planet, as soon as God made people,
He lied to them.
He led them to lift up themselves in pride. And then the next thing, he cut them down with shame.
Well, that way he has authority. He takes authority over them.
And then when God is in the presence,
instead
of running to him, they hid. And think about what they in essence said. I wrote this down like this. Here, in essence, this is what happened. And hear the shame in this, because Satan hasn't changed. Hear this. This is not really what I'm talking about. I'm just pointing this out. So they say to God, I heard your voice. I was uncovered, and I was afraid, or I was ashamed.
Naked.
We just have not wanted to get naked in front of God. I don't mean physically, but the stuff. We've not allowed him the access to the stuff in our lives like he's wanting to get it.
Like we could hide something from him. That's impossible.
No. And he's wanted to get at it, not to reprimand us, but to bring us into his presence, to bring us up, to fix it. So anyway, that's not what I was talking about in here, but it was good to point out. So hold the thought that we just left. Go to Genesis chapter 2. And in verse 4, it says, this account of the creation of the heavens and the earth. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, neither the wild plants nor grains were growing on the earth. For the Lord God had not yet sent rain to water the earth, and there were no people to cultivate the soil. You're thinking, why am I reading this? Look at what comes next. He says,
you'll have to give me verses because I'm not reading your same translation.
I apologize. Verse 6, Genesis 2:6.
Okay.
Instead, springs came up from the ground and watered all the land. Now, I used to always think the reason that's in there is just talking about the plants and the grains. But I don't think that anymore. God's very purposeful in all the things that He says. Springs came up from the ground and watered all the land. So we have one ingredient here, water. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. Okay, water, dirt. Okay, hold your place here. And then let's go back. Just hold your place right there. God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves, my Bible says, are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. Wait. We are like fragile clay jars containing a treasure. What treasure? The God that said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made that light, that very same light, shine in our hearts. So it says, we are like fragile clay jars containing that light that He spoke. Let's go back and read it again to what He said when He spoke it. God formed man. He had water. God formed man from water and dirt. What is that?
Mud.
Mud or clay. So really, we are not like fragile clay jars. These bodies take, if you separate these bodies from the special treasure that's on the inside of us, that's exactly what it is, a clay pot. It's the way God created it. And without, it's the thing on the inside of us that's special. It's the thing on the inside of us that becomes indestructible. He says, now listen to this. He breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils, and man became a living person, a speaking spirit, one translation says. So when it says here, we have this light shining in our hearts, but we're like fragile clay jars, this makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. This harkens back to the very beginning when He made a clay pot and He breathed Himself into Adam. That's exactly what we are. When stuff goes on, is what we're going to talk about tomorrow. Stuff goes on in the body. Stuff goes on in around us. That is just clay pot stuff. We have a special treasure on the inside. And that's what makes us special. That's what makes us unique. And that's what makes us win.
Praise God. That's good, Kelly.
More about that tomorrow.
More about that? Don't miss it. We'll see you then.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.